Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I actually have three of these kind of lined up in a row. I will give a tease to what the next ones will be at the end of this one. The first one, I want us to think about how unique of a situation we have just witnessed with Elon Musk. Now, love him or hate him, understand him or don't, because he's hard to understand. He's quite a character. What we just went through with the Twitter files, it really should go down historically as rare and even as uniquely heroic. So let me explain. Right now, there's some counter narratives already about Elon Musk. Kimology 411, my host Kim, my co-host Kim, the main host of that show, has said, "Hey, but they're just gonna censor on the other side." I'm like, "Yeah, maybe. I mean, if they censor on the other side, it's going to be a matter of scale if he just starts censoring in the other direction." And so I would disagree with that because you can't start to censor and then go anywhere good. Not with the culture of damning free speech that we have now since about 2018 when Canary in the Coal Mine Alex Jones lost his platform from Amazon. Our culture of free speech is down to nil. It was based on a bluff, and the bluff has been called. So as soon as you start going down that path again, if you're resetting things, you better not start going, because then all you're doing is you're just delaying the inevitable if you start going down at all. So that may be true that if he's going to do that, that's bad. But to me, at this moment, it's a little bit of a counter narrative. What he's really done is something highly heroic and incredibly rare. So I want you to think about this. So it turns out via the Twitter files that some shenanigans were going on with government agencies. All right. I mean, this was some very planned, coordinated stuff by public officials, as if you wouldn't have guessed that when they felt comfortable banning an account of a U.S. president. Hello, as if you wouldn't have guessed that there must be more going on if Twitter thinks that a president doesn't have to have an account. As if you couldn't get that they probably thought they had cover from somewhere for that before they would do that. But so, you know, a lot of revelations there. But I want us to appreciate what just happened. Like, this is historic. This is a Edward Snowden type of a thing. This is a, not Snowden, but the guy, the British guy who's been in custody now for, it's that level, Julian Assange type of a thing. This, that level of revelation in someone trying to, you know, fight back against this awful manipulation by our agencies against free speech and the American people and the people of the world. It's that historic. But think about how it happened. So if all this stuff was going on behind the scenes and some whistleblowers knew, what are they going to do against Twitter and the government that was in on it? Think about that. What are they going to do? They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to have mud slung at them by these awful people, like the same type of people who said a journalist who is with Elon Musk commissioned to talk about the dirty laundry of the company he just took on, the dirty laundry from before he bought it, as though that's the same thing of just doing PR for a billionaire. Not the same thing, jackasses. So any whistleblower is going to be subject to all of that ridicule and lose their livelihoods, because good luck with that suit to sue. I mean, you might win, but you're going against Twitter and whatever government agency was cooperating with them and is trying to hide the truth of the cooperation. So I want you to think about that. How much luck is the whistleblower going to have? And even if they do, is it going to be downshared by the same mechanism that caused the first downsharing, that caused the first account deletions, and so on? I mean, once you can stop messaging, then you're your own protection, right? And so it really seems that Elon Musk took over Twitter. I mean, maybe he heard, you know, he's buddies with Joe Rogan. It's like, hey, did you hear the rumors, man? You know, he's been on Joe Rogan Experience. So it seems like maybe Twitter, it was very well coordinated with the government, you know, government officials, CDC, FBI, the like, the administration, and all the weirdos at the various health agencies that are rabid, and the big pharma. I mean, they're all like, it seems like it might be coordinated. It really seems like Elon Musk may have bought that company in order to be the world's richest and highest placed whistleblower. I mean, think about how soon after he said, here's all the dirty laundry of my company and the dirty laundry of the government. So it's kind of like Snowden, but without having to go hide in a South American embassy, right? That's, you know, to have some protection. It's kind of like that. It's like Snowden, I'm sorry, Julian Assange, without having to hide in a South American embassy, or without having to be, flee to Russia for Snowden. He said, what if I just bought the company and then no one's going to fire me because I own it. And then the FBI is not going to say, you can't give that information. I can too. It's my company and it's a public work. It's a public worth. Now, that's amazing in and of itself, that it really, and that is historic level. And it's, I'm really embarrassed that any American does not see how amazing that is, and how heroic that is. But then on top of the strategy, understand too, how different that is for any CEO. A CEO comes into a company. Which of them are ever going to air dirty laundry short of an investigation about to happen? Let alone if it's the opposite of an investigation, that you have cover from the government. Who's going to air that dirty laundry? What CEO is going to do that? They're going to try to connect with the culture there. And try to, that's not the best practices, but okay, we'll work on that. Think about how rare that is in the history of the world that a CEO would, someone would buy a company and then absolutely dress it down in front of all of the globe. And then to dress it down is considered, working, you know, the person who does it, so it doesn't seem like it's just coming from this person because it's a big, for whatever reason, that's considered partisan, which, never mind, that blows my mind. Oh, to talk about how the government's working directly with a corporation to stop free speech is now partisan. So he says, I'm going to commission somebody respected, so it's not just me saying it, so people have to pay better attention to it, and he'll allow them to go through it. Oh, that person's just carrying the water for a billionaire. No, that's a journalist. You know, what happens then is the easy interviews. That's carrying the water for a billionaire about some scandal the billionaire himself has. Not about the company he just took on. How embarrassing. Just think about how rare that is. That's my point of this one. It's so incredibly rare. My next episode is going to be about how all that proves a different version of the argument of not constitutional. Remember that one side is just the narrative swallowers, like, you know, deep throat swallowers of,
yeah, but private companies can do what they want.
Thank you, sudden libertarians for convenience, but not libertarians any other time. They can do what they want. I'm sure glad they're censoring. Well, next episode about how conversation is really actually entirely different. Once we look at what seemed to be the likelihood, given the whole circumstances, and then what the Twitter files revealed. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Go ahead and follow my episodes. Add those notifications for my episodes. Rate it, like it. Appreciate it.